This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is so good to be with you again on ESPN Richmond, Angels Radio LA, Fox Sports Las Vegas, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports Atlanta, ESPN South Jersey, and 107.5 Alive. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We truly appreciate it. Our guest this week is Buffalo Bills linebacker A.J. Klein. Stay tuned for that conversation. We're going to get into some heavy stuff today. You go with that?
I'm always good with the heavy stuff.
The biggest story in sports this week was John Gruden stepping down as coach of the Las Vegas Raiders due to some emails that he sent several years ago that are considered racist, homophobic, and misogynistic. We're not going to give those comments any more attention, but this is how we're going to talk about this today because I think it's a very important conversation. In the immediate aftermath, I heard so many people come out and say, be careful what you say in an email. Be careful. You don't know who's keeping those receipts. And I started thinking, being careful not to say these things shouldn't be the warning. That's not the issue here. It's not having these thoughts in the first place. And that's where Jesus comes in, and that's what I want to talk about, because we live in a culture now of change, and it's a great thing to want to stand up for unity. We're all created equal in God's eyes. We're all his children. Doesn't matter what color skin, doesn't matter man or woman, doesn't matter our beliefs, it doesn't matter our values. We're all his children, and we should be treated equally, and we should love each other the same. We should love each other, love your neighbor as yourself, and it doesn't mean we all have to agree with everyone else's viewpoints, but we can disagree sometimes in a respectful manner. And those who feel a certain way toward certain groups of people, you can't force anyone to show respect out of fear or to show love. It starts with a changing of the heart. And that's really where real change occurs, is when hearts are changed. Mm-hmm. And if your heart is changed, you don't have these kind of thoughts. You don't want to even say that. You don't have to be warned not to say this if your heart is changed. And I want to talk about a verse that has come up so much. You probably mentioned it last week, and we talked about it the week before, and it's often coming up. Romans 12:2, where Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I know Pastor Johnny at our church, our new church here in Florida, Generations, is preaching a series on this, which I missed this week because I was at a football game.
It was really good.
I have to catch up on that. But if our minds are renewed in Christ, we become a new person. And how does that happen? God is the one who can change our hearts. God is the one who can change the way we think. So we aren't consumed by worldly values, so we're not consumed by selfish desires, so we're not consumed by our own sinful patterns of behavior. And when I say sinful patterns of behavior, that's all encompassing. All of these thoughts, the racial thoughts, the homophobic, the misogynistic, all of this stuff that is offensive to people and should not be entering our mind if our heart is one of love. If we care about everyone, we're not having these thoughts. We don't have to worry about, oh, what do I say? How do I word this? Who might have access to my emails? Who may see my texts? Who may see my social media post? Like, we don't have to worry about that if our minds are renewed and our hearts are changed.
Right. And you know what? We've all fallen, short.
We've
all done this whole feeling saying something mean or saying something hurtful, not to this extent, of course, but we've all done something mm-hmm. that we don't feel good about or guilty or shame or whatever. And it's all in the roots, though. You have to look at the roots of the problem.
Yeah.
What are the roots of the problem? I'm like a root person. Like if I'm trying to treat a plant or something, I look at the root person.
Well, that's where it starts.
Yeah, and it all starts there. It all starts in the roots. And we have to just look at the roots and solve the issue right there.
That's how it's addressed.
Yeah, and that's how we need to look at this. What is the problem here? You know, is the problem hate? Is the problem coming from the upbringing? Whatever. It's all like, what's the issue at hand? Mm-hmm. And I always look at my life that way too. Like, if I have a feeling towards something or like jealousy or hate or envy or whatever, it applies to everything, you know? Mm-hmm. What's the root of that? Why do I feel that way? And I pray about it. And I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. And I ask the Holy Spirit to just purify my thoughts and purify my heart. And the Bible says you have to hold every thought captive. So every thought, you have to actually sit there and analyze it. Like, obviously, it's kind of hard for every thought, but the bad ones, the big ones. Mm-hmm. And think of the root of that issue and try, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to remedy the issue and actually like get transformed with the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you need, we all need that help. We all need that constant reminder. It's not just him. It's not just the next guy, because it's going to be someone else.
It's not just about hurtful comments to this extent. No. It's like you talked about right there with just thoughts of jealousy. Like sometimes I'll see someone achieve a certain level of success that I look at and I go, how did that happen to someone, knowing the way they go about their life or knowing the way they treat people or how difficult they can be or how mean they can be or however. And I go, well, how are they being rewarded? And I actually pray about not even having that thought. Like, I don't want to have that thought of why did this person have success here when
it's comparison.
Yeah, because I don't even want to be judgmental to the point where, okay, I see them mistreating people. I see them speaking out in mean, disgusting, hurtful ways. But it's not for me to decide how they should be rewarded. And then I think about, well, there's earthly rewards that are not everlasting.
Right.
And if that's what you're living for and that's what you're measuring your life up against, you're going to always be in a comparison mode and you're going to fall short. You'll never be satisfied because you're looking at that and you find your true peace in the Lord. You find your true peace in Christ, and it doesn't mean we'll ever achieve perfection, but I think that's how you combat having any kind of negative thoughts, any kind of what isn't really representative of Christ.
And you know what else too? Like, I love the fact that you brought the whole email thing and don't email this and don't email that. It's kind of like somebody cheating on their like spouse or whatever, and they just didn't get caught yet. Yeah. You're gonna get caught, you know, one way or another. Yeah. Emails, texting, somebody says something to you, somebody recording it, whatever. I think if you're doing something wrong, or you're not supposed to do it, or you're not supposed to say, or not even supposed to feel it, it's gonna come out one way or another, because God has a funny way of bringing darkness into light. That is just how he works. He brings darkness into light. So maybe from all of this, we can learn that
it's not about covering things up.
It's about bringing it into light. So if you have those feelings, you have those thoughts, attack the root of the problem, fix the problem. Obviously, as humans, we all fall short. But God, thank God, he covers it all with his grace and his mercy. And it's all covered at the cross. Everything is covered by the blood of Christ. And he can help us. He can help all of us, not just one or the other. He can help all of us recover from whatever, whether it's trauma or abuse or hurtful things or thoughts and feelings and depression and all that. It's all there, and he can help us with all of it. So You know, I honestly believe that people, when they have those kind of thoughts and feelings, that they are suffering from something, and yeah. and they just need to get like some sort of healing.
It's, yeah,
and healing is available.
And I think the important thing is through Christ, as we, like you said, through Christ, the healing is through Christ.
That's
through Christ is the important.
Oh yeah, there's no pill for that.
It's through Christ, yeah. And I think as we talk about unity, we talk about standing for this and the underrepresented. It's through Christ where the hearts can change. Yep. It's through Christ, and we need to make sure that that's right up top. That's known. Up next, you're going to hear from Buffalo Bills linebacker A.J. Klein. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action, get information, understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores, it's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on most of the podcast platforms. You'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week, Buffalo Bills linebacker A.J. Klein, is in his ninth season in the NFL, second with the Bills after playing in Carolina and New Orleans. A.J. is the ultimate team player. Here's my conversation with A.J. Klein.
A.J., I want to start off with how you're adjusting to your role. No snaps defensively week one, 30 week two. You've started a ton of games over the course of your career. So how's it been for you so far this season?
It's been good. I think one thing that's been good for me since I've been here in Buffalo has been clarity from the coaching staff. They give me a clear week-to-week look at what the game plan holds for me and my particular role, whether it's base defense, nickel, subbing in and out, or just being the next guy up if something were to happen. So, and as well, transitioning back into being a guy that can contribute to special teams. Last week, I was on four phases until I played in that second half. I came off of one. And the week before, I think I was three phases, but obviously no defensive snaps in week one, but just being able to kind of take it as it comes and be able to know multiple positions helps me.
For for a veteran guy like yourself to go play special teams, and that's the ultimate team, being a team player, being a teammate, wanting to be able to contribute in any way possible. Is there a different mentality when you're asked to do that, to go on those core teams?
No, not at all. I mean, I think I would rather have it that way and be active on game day and be able to help this team win, because one, I know I can make plays on special teams and I can help this team win, rather than being down and not playing at all. So for me, but I've played special teams my entire career. Even when I was a starter, they asked me to play one or two phases. Same thing last year when I started last year, I was playing one or two phases per week. So it's nothing new for me. I've always done it since day one, since I got in the NFL.
You mentioned the clarity from the coaching staff when you made a decision to sign with Buffalo last year. How much did your familiarity with Sean McDermott, Buffalo coach, you guys were together in Carolina, how much did that contribute, and how much do you enjoy being around Sean, his philosophy? And I had the experience of seeing him in Philly several years ago, and I know he's very well liked by the players.
Yeah, it definitely was a contributing factor, and obviously knowing Bean as well from the front office side of it, and obviously some former players that I got, guys that I play with Star, and obviously Mario signed on, Leonard Johnson, who I actually play with, who's now one of our coaches here. But I just knew that this team was going to be competitive, that this team was going to do big things and continue to win football games. So it was something that I wanted to be part of.
You guys came so close last year to reaching the Super Bowl, and coming into this season, the Buffalo Bills are a popular pick by a lot of people to get there. How do you not allow those high expectations from outside affect the way you prepare or you approach a week-to-week basis?
Well, in my personal opinion, expectations don't mean anything. Last year doesn't mean anything. It's a new season. It's a new team. We have new pieces, but that still doesn't change our ultimate goal of getting back to the AFC Championship game and reaching a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. But it's a week-to-week league, and you look at scores from week one and week two. There's games that what people would consider upsets, and there's always going to be surprises. And I think that's the best part about the NFL is every week anybody can win any given Sunday, right? The old cliche. This game is separated by 3-4 plays a game, maybe. Very often, or very, very few times is there blowouts, or are there blowouts in the NFL game. So it's an every week mentality. You got to be ready to play every single week, because if you don't bring your best and put your best foot forward, you're going to get beat.
AJ, you sacked Russell Wilson twice in a game that last year. You sacked Kyler Murray, and those are two very mobile quarterbacks. What does it take? What's the key to be able to be disciplined and bring down guys like Russell, like Kyler, who can move around so well in the pocket, escape, create plays, and do everything else with their legs?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think the coaching staff putting us in positions to make those plays. I didn't do anything special against Seattle. They lined me up on the edge, and they gapped down the protection and cut me free. Like, I didn't do anything special. It was a great, great defensive call that allowed me to make a play. As far as Kyler, I know he's very mobile quarterback. I almost had him once earlier in the game. And again, it was more of just a scramble situation, trying to force him out of the pocket and chase him down before he gained a yard. And they luckily enough gave me a sack. So I don't think it's anything special, but I think, first and foremost, the coaching staff putting us in the right positions to make those plays, whether it's blitzes, zone coverages, man-to-man, whatever it's going to be, and then executing that defense. But obviously, it always starts with our defensive line. If our defensive line isn't getting the quarterback, or if they aren't creating issues, right, guys like me can't come free. So it always starts with them. I give them props because they're the guys that do it every single time.
What did you learn playing with a guy like Luke Kuechly in Carolina, obviously one of the best to play at that position?
Obviously, Luke's a great friend, great teammate, great player. I think with Luke is attention to detail and how he studied the game, his respect for the game, and just how he went about being a pro. I think there's something that always resonated. It was more, how can you be a servant leader to other people? I think Luke was a great example of being a servant leader, whether it's asking guys if they want a drink, getting up at lunch when he grabs something for himself, or staying after and leading film on Fridays real quick after practice. I think he was one of those guys that obviously wanted to get the best out of every single player, every single teammate, but the relationship aspect and the relationships that you create is a true testament to his character and the person he is.
I know he wore the Q collar towards the end of his career. Did that influence you in wanting to try it out, and how important is it for you to have that on and be something that you feel goes out there and helps protect you?
Well, yeah. So Luke actually, I think it was in 2016. I think that might've been the first year he was wearing it. 2017, 16. I can't remember exactly, but my, the first year I went to the Saints, in 2017, he contacted me and asked if I had any interest in possibly wearing it. So I looked at all the research and, one of the guys came out to the facility, did the scans, got me fitted, and I decided to wear it. And I was like, what if anything, it's just going to help me. It's going to make me feel more secure, more protected. And actually, it's actually weird now. I don't have it on right now. I took it off, but, if I don't have it on the field, I feel kind of naked. Right. So it's one of those things that I've adapted to that I feel like I have to wear, want to wear. So it's, but yeah, the research and everything that Luke was able to present to me, it's actually funny you bring him up because he just texted me and I'm going to get another collar sent, just to have an extra. But no, he was an influence. And I think the entire team that I worked with Q Collar, did a great job presenting the information and making me feel one comfortable wearing it. They asked my input, they asked how I felt wearing it. So it made me feel like I was helping contribute something to them as well.
Do you talk with other players, position group or other guys about wearing it?
Yeah, it's actually if guys have questions or ask about it, I'll definitely talk to them about it, explain to them what it is. It's actually funny how many guys probably on game days on the opposing teams always ask me what I'm wearing on my neck. And I always say it's Bluetooth. I would say it's a Bluetooth speaker, just kind of making a joke. But no, if guys ask me, I explain. I was like, hey, if you want more information, I can always pass along a phone number. So I'm always, it's exciting to hear guys be like, oh, I didn't know about that. It's one of those things where you're surprised that more guys don't know about the technology and where everything has kind of come from. So it would be nice to see more guys wearing it.
AJ, 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. What does that Bible verse mean to you? I know it's significant enough that you put it up on your Instagram.
I think it's, for me, it's faith in all circumstances. Days that might not be going the best, circumstances that come up in life, and you go the old, well, why me? You always got to have faith in knowing that God has a plan. And though this is my interpretation, it might go for seeing is believing, right? We can't see Jesus Christ. We can't see our God, but I believe that we can see our God everywhere around us. It's the people that we talk to. It's the nature that we see outside. It's the relationships. It's family. It's all around us. So for me, even though I don't see Jesus Christ, or I can't, right, was Doubting Thomas, right? Can't see the marks in the hands. I believe and I put my faith in him regardless. So that for me has always been a true testament of my belief system. And I always can kind of just go back to that, even though I might not see him or feel him, I know I'm not walking alone. I know he's always with me.
It's always very comforting for everyone to know that, especially as we go ups and downs in life. AJ, man, I really appreciate the conversation and you spending some time with me. I wish you great luck the rest of the season and a ton of blessings.
I appreciate it. Have a great day.
That's it for this week. Thank you to AJ Klein. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action, get information, understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.